gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 16. In John's Gospel, chapter 16, look down at verse 33. "These things have I spoken unto you," Jesus said, "that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." He didn't say you might have. He said you would have. "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." Lord, speak to our hearts today. Encourage our hearts today. Challenge our hearts today. Help us to stay focused on heaven and not on things below. For you have promised that you would always be with us to make a way. And by faith, help us to look to you and live for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I've lived long enough in this old sin-sick world to know there's going to be storms in life. I bet you've discovered it too. And they're sometimes quite unexpected. These words that we just shared with you from God's Word this day was words that Jesus gave us, the Savior himself. It said that in this world ye would have tribulation or trouble or trials or hardships. That's a given. We know it's true. In this world there is no security, folks. You may have a security system, but the crook knows how to get by it. You might be out on the highest hill, but a tornado can blow you off. There's no real security in this world. The only security is Jesus. Amen. That's the only security. That's our true security. Jesus gives us this truth in the Sermon on the Mount. I'd love for you to turn in your Bible to the Sermon on the Mount, because I think this is kind of relevant for our situation for today in Matthew chapter 6 in your Bible. Matthew chapter 6. I'll give you a moment to turn there, because it's always good to look at it and it help you to remember it for maybe a later turning back to it. In Matthew chapter 6, we'll just look at a couple of verses, verses 19 and 20. "Lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." How do I lay up treasures in heaven? Someone might want to know. By living like the Lord tells us to live. Love your neighbor as yourself. Live by the word of God. Live by faith. Give yourself to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him be the center and the focus of our lives. As we do those things, living by God's word, we'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And we'll be rewarded with them when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. If you get to heaven, what you will receive will be what you've laid up there while you lived in this life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget that. Many people have been affected in recent days by this storm. Our state has experienced heavy wind and rain. And I've seen those chicken houses and hog houses and all those animals, crops devastated, homes devastated, lives altered in many, many ways. I think it's been 40-something people killed, the latest count, because of this storm. How can we express the grief for thousands of people who've lost their homes, their cars, churches? That Baptist church on West 5th Street is devastated again the second time. And they just got it redone from 2 years ago. That's just one story. And businesses have been devastated as well. It will be a long time before a full recovery is made because of the extensive damage that has befallen so many. I remember when Hurricane Hazel came through in 54, all the trees that were downed. I mean, you could probably look around now and still see the effects of 54, the destruction of that storm that I drove a school bus through. We, too, have spent many days without electric power to provide hot water for baths and cooking. Now, I took my showers in the Army in cold water in the wintertime. I ain't doing it no more. I remember we had us out one day doing all kind of calisthenics, and we were in, I mean, it was powdery black dirt, and we were black as tar when they got through with us wallering in. And it was November, cold. And they said, "How many of y'all want a good warm shower?" Woo! Everybody's hand. So they stripped us naked. And we walked from here to the Shannon Road or further in line to get a hot shower. I still ain't got that hot shower. It was this cold, great day. And then we had to walk back to our clothes. For your life. Your life. Great day in the morning. I ain't taking no cold shower. I want everyone to know God cares, though, about your situation. What your situation is, God cares about it. He's aware of it. Isn't it good to know there's a God that cares? That's aware? He's concerned? He knows what he's doing and what he wants to accomplish, by the way. This did not happen out of the control of God, folks. He's a sovereign God who controls the hair on your head. Praise God for such a God. In Nahum chapter 1 and verse 3, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The unsaved are not going to get by. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. God accomplished all he wanted to accomplish with this past storm. And the clouds are the dust of his feet. Nahum 1 and 3. The storm affected both God's people and unsaved people. Just because you're saved don't mean you're not going to experience the same thing unsaved people experience. God in his wisdom, which is too great for us to understand, allowed this whether we understand it or not. The question is, how have we all responded? How have you responded to all the destruction? Has it humbled you? Has it made you see how little you are? How helpless you are? Has it made you see how much you need God? Here is how the psalmist responded after a long struggle viewing the wicked in Psalm 73. Turn in your Bible this morning. Psalm 73. The psalmist had seen how the wicked were prospering and he was having it hard in life. So here's several verses of his view as he was experiencing life. Psalm 73. Look down at verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee, the psalmist responded. And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. You see, the psalmist determined to look to God, to follow God. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. Listen to that. In all of his struggles, with all of his questions, he concluded it was good for him to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I might declare all his works. That's what the psalmist said. With all the questions he had in his life, when he saw people that was wicked, ungodly, and they were prospering in this world, and everything was going good for them, they had good health, and he had this question. Yet he finally concluded, it was good for me to draw nigh to God and to put my trust in the Lord God. My hope and prayer is that people will realize how much they need God. Sometimes you just want to get people by the shoulders and shake them. Hey, you need God. I wish I could shake the whole country today and shake them till their teeth rattle. You need God, America. That's what's wrong with our country. We forgot about God. You know what's the problem today with this storm? Too many people are going to depend on the government. You're supposed to depend on God. God is where the blessings is at. If this storm has come and gone and people have missed the opportunity to cry out to the one who loves them so much, he died for them, it will be a very big tragedy. And a lot of people will. They'll ignore God. It's just like we've seen in the past with the fires, other floods, earthquakes. We're going to rebuild. We're determined it's going to be better. No mention of God. Well, God lets it go so far, but then there's going to be an accounting day. Storms like this one shows us how little and helpless we are. Can you imagine a storm that covers two states? Now, that's a big cloud, ain't it? Two states. People from two states fleeing. You know, in my mind, I can just see it. In the tribulation time when it all breaks out, people's going to be fleeing everywhere trying to get away. You won't be able to get away from God then. Let me ask all of you today, have you been drawn nearer to God because of this storm? Has it caused you to draw closer to the Lord, to realize you need the Lord? Do you realize more fully your need of Him every day? You don't just need Him when there's a storm. You need Him today. You need Him today. After all, He's giving you your next breath. I can assure you that God cares for every person just like He did Job long ago when He let all that happen to Job. Man, that man suffered. He suffered physically. And I know his heart was tore out when he lost 10 children. And God loved him so much, He put him to that extreme test. Did you know you might be being put to the test? Church, y'all hear me? Are you going to keep trusting God? You going to keep living for the Lord? This book tells me that God tests us. Get your priorities in order. Get God back in the center of your life. And don't let Him get away from the center. Because everything else in this world is vanity. It's going to pass away. I can assure you God cares for everyone. What we're so conveniently forgetting is we're living in the devil's territory. Did you know that? And he'll discourage you. He'll defeat you. That's why you got to keep your eye on the Lord. You got to be faithful. God's looking for faithful people. Just take up your cross and follow Him. We should also remember what the Scripture says about nature around us. And again, would you please turn to Romans chapter 8, because it'll be worth your read to turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I'd even suggest you highlight this verse. Actually, we're going to touch on two verses. I'm going to read in part two verses. Romans chapter 8, writings of Paul to the church at Rome. In verse 18, we'll look first. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You think about all your sufferings, your hardships, how rough life is. Paul said, it's nothing to what you're going to get one day. Amen? The glory of what you're going to get. What you got now looks like trash. Excuse. Don't be to belittle what you got. But I'm just comparing. Amen? And then in verse 22, for we know, listen to this, for we know the whole creation groaneth. Was it groaning the other day? And travaileth to in pain together until now. Creations are growing. We got a pine tree laying out there. Disrupted by nature. So step back and look and listen at all the suffering that's going around us today. It's not just you hurting. It's not just you that might be discouraged. It's all over the world, but folks. People have their problems and their trials. Who's calling on the Lord, though? And who's ignoring God and His Son? I bet you there's more in that category than those calling on the Lord. Ain't that sad? We just read in our Sunday school lesson that God made Adam's body from the dust, and all he had was a body made of dust that was turned to flesh. It weren't nothing. And then God, the Hebrew scholars say it seems like God just breathed, bent down and into Adam's nostrils, and the soul and the spirit, the breath of life, entered him. That's the reason when you die, you leave this old body behind, and you go back to God if you're saved. If you're not saved, he don't want you, or he can't use you. It'd be a better way to say that. Our society today has gone mad with family members killing each other. Besides all the brutal killings we hear about, it's frightening to look at the news and hear the news today, what's going on. People are being cut up in pieces, like we used to slaughter a hog, and their bodies then are put in a freezer. Some of them are put in trash bags, stowed in a dumpster, and carried to the dump. That's how people respected people today. Isn't that terrible? That people are so godless, so evil, so wicked. That's what sin has done to the human heart. That's what sin has done. You'll probably go home today and you'll hear some more awful killings, evil. It's just horrifying to learn what humans are doing to humans. The hate and the anger that's all around us because we cannot agree on our politics. And remember, every single one, look at your neighbor and say, you're made in the image of God. Did you know that? You're made in the image of God. That gives you dignity. That makes you somebody. You're somebody. You're so important to God, he sent his son to die for you, to rescue you. He did. We had people going out in boats rescuing people. Oh, we just praise them. Good. But let me tell you something. This book will rescue your soul. For you can live forever. For you can live forever. Our politicians have created a nightmare with illegals coming to this country who are not abiding by the laws of the land. We got one political party that's ruined this country. And the other party, half of them are about as bad. While many people are blaming or questioning God about the recent storm, as people we have become a country that's forgot the laws of God. That you reap what you sow. We're beginning to pay for our many sins as a nation, I'm afraid. Remember 9/11? Remember New Orleans? Remember the fires out in California every year? The volcanoes in Hawaii? Remember all the floods in Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama? Remember Matthew? And now Florence. What's it going to take for us to wake up as a people? When a storm covers two states and gets nearly about stopped and just sits there and pumps that water out of the ocean right down on you, hour after hour pumping water. while many people are blaming or questioning God about the recent storm. And that's what people do. Why did God let that happen to me? Well, he had a reason why he let it happen to you. I might not know, but he knows, don't he? While many people are blaming or questioning God about this storm, as people, we've become a country that's forgot the laws of God as a country. I grew up on Sunday, the stores was all closed. We made Sunday a regular day now. You can cut it any way you want to. I believe God said be in church on Sunday. God demands he's number one in your life. God made you for himself. God didn't make you and turn you loose to live like you want to. And I'm talking to you, buddy. I believe we're beginning to pay for the many sins we committed as a nation. God is warning us, trying to get our attention, because remember, God don't like to judge. He puts it off just as long as he can. But he's been warning this nation a long time, and we've not been listening. Why don't we listen to God? Why don't we listen to God? You too busy to listen to God? Do you ever think about why you don't listen to God? Is your life being controlled by the Holy Scriptures? Do you get into the Bible and try to find out how to live for the Lord? It's mighty quiet. You see, God's not playing games. For sure, many people have no time for God, and they care less if anyone else does. I'll do what I want to do. Yeah, you can. God will let you for a while. He'll let you walk right into hell wide open. Let's face it. I believe the chickens may be coming home to roost, as that old saying is, for our country. Look at the enemies we got. They can put up one explosion that affect our electrical grid, and you won't have no electricity for a year. How did you make out with no electricity for a week? Just one explosion up there takes care of it for a year or longer. And boy, weren't it fun trying to go to the grocery store this past week. Weren't that fun? They'll run over you. They'll fight you for a loaf of bread. We can always expect life to have its problems and struggles, Jesus said, but we can add to them by our own disobedience. That's where it gets rough. A lot of our problems are our own makings. Here is what God says about leaders and preachers. Turn to Jeremiah, please. Please, Jeremiah 23. I told you I might refer to this again today. I had a verse in the bulletin, but I found something else I wanted to share in our message, and this is the stuff. Jeremiah was writing this to the people of Judah, who were idol worshipers, and God was warning them he was going to judge them. And their leaders and preachers said, no, God wouldn't do that to us. We're God's people. Let me tell you something. You better not hide behind your Christianity. In Jeremiah 23 and verse 1 and 2, we'll look at first. Woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. The pastors there, really, it means the political leaders. That's what it's referring to. We'll get to the real ministers, the spiritual ones, in a moment. Woe to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. The political leaders of Judah and of Israel earlier had led the people away from God with idols. And God says, I'm going to judge you. I'm going to judge you. What about our country? What if our leaders did? Oh, they gave us abortion, killing babies. They give us homosexual marriages, blasphemous in the face of God. Folks, that's just a couple of things. Gambling. All kind of laws is being passed by our political leaders. Made legal according to the politicians, but God says, I'm going to judge you. I'm going to judge you. You're going to pay for it. And if you agree with the politicians and these illegal laws that God hates, you will suffer the same consequences the leaders will. The pastors mentioned here are, as I said, referring to the political leaders of Judah. Later, God, in that same chapter, God addresses the religious leaders. Drop down now to Jeremiah 23:16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you, that make you vain. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, Jeremiah said, that God told him to write. Don't you believe these preachers, Jeremiah said, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. What they are preaching is not true. That's what God said through Jeremiah. Don't believe them preachers. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. That's what they were saying to the people. Everything's going to be all right. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. In other words, these false teachers, Jeremiah said, is telling you there's going to be peace and everything's going to be okay, but God says that's not true. God says that's not true. World history, and even the Bible tells us that God did judge Judah and sent them into Babylon under captivity for 70 years, destroying the temple before they left, and destroyed Jerusalem and killed thousands of the citizens. That's history. And those preachers were teaching God won't let that happen. Let me tell you something. You don't obey God, God can let anything happen. Today we have ministers who are telling the people things that are not true today. Our pulpits are full of preachers that are as faked as a $3 bill. A minister, first of all, God some ministers teach this. God wants you to prosper. Just give them some money. Send us some money and God will prosper you. God will prosper the preacher if you send him the money. Some, God will heal you if you have enough faith. That's not true. Before I ever got saved and had faith, I'd be sick and get well. Amen. Amen. God wants you to speak in tongues. That ain't in the Bible. That ain't no show of spirituality. That's the least of all the gifts, according to the Bible. God wants you to know there is no hell. There's preachers preaching, there ain't no hell. And other preachers are saying God will not send anyone to hell. God won't send anybody to hell. That's true. People go of their own accord. They choose to go to hell rather than bow down to Jesus Christ. Some teach God's going to finally save everybody. Another wicked lie. And some are teaching one religion is as good as another, or one church is as good as another. That's another lie. Today we're living in the Laodicean church age. You can't hardly find a Bible church anymore. The entertainment centers. The same is true with many of our political leaders who are destroying our country right before our eyes with their anti-God liberal policies. The Bible has forewarned of the church's condition prior to the rapture of the church. The Apostle Paul wrote in Revelation that apostasy would envelop Christianity before the coming tribulation. And boy, do we have the apostasies today. False teachings, false churches, false preachers. The Bible in the Old and the New Testament warns about the many false teachers and preachers. But who's listening? If you'll go out there and preach anything, somebody will listen. But if you preach the truth, you won't have a whole lot of listeners. Revelation 3, right quick. Revelation chapter 3. Here's what the Lord says about the Laodicean church. This is the kind of church is everywhere today. Revelation chapter 3. Look down at verse 15. I know thy works, church members. Thou art neither cold nor hot. That means they're just so-so. We go to church when we feel like it. We go to church when I want to. God ought to appreciate if I ever go. Hey, that ain't no real attitude. God don't need you in church, folks. You need to be in church for your own self. I've been in church all my life. And I need more. I'm a wicked feller. No amen? I need to be cleansed every day. I need to be cleansed every day. I read this book every day. I study every day. And I'm wicked. I battle with them Democrats, let me tell you. I need the Word. I go home after a while, me and my wife, you know what me and my wife's going to do? We're going to listen to preaching most of the rest of the evening. What you all going to do? We heard Billy Graham yesterday. Weren't that good? You ain't going to hear too much of the Word if you listen to it every day. I know thy works, thou art neither hot nor cold. What's your spiritual temperature today? I would thou were hot or cold. Make up your mind, the Lord said. Are you going to live for me or not? So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee, vomit thee out of my mouth, the Lord said. You make me sick. He's talking to the church, folks. He's talking to the last church at the end of the church age. And I believe it's this age. Because thou sayest, I'm rich. I'm increased. Look at all we've got as a church. Boy, look at us. We got money in the bank. I wish we did. We got money in the bank. Boy, we got a big building. Look at this crowd we got. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor. Your true condition, the Lord said. And blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Get spiritual, in other words. Amen? Get spiritual. Don't be worldly and carnal. Fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with the Savior. Think about what He's done for you. Cast yourself upon His mercies. It'll transform your life. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. The Lord says to the last church, the Laodicean church, just before the rapture, you better repent, church. Saying you are saved does not make you saved. Being a member of a church does not save you. Being baptized does not save you. Having religion does not save you. Believing in God does not save you. You got to be born again. To be saved and a member of Christ's church, one has to be born again by faith in Jesus as their personal Savior. Do you realize you need to be saved? Did you know no one can save you but Jesus? You have to know you're a sinner. You must know that He died for you and believe it, and that He conquered death. And you say, Lord, I'm that sinner you died for. I want you to save me. I want you to forgive me. I want you to come into my heart and my life. Make me one of your own. He never turns anyone away who's honest will come to Him. We know of many people who have suffered great loss from this recent storm. This is tragic. But I fear too many will suffer this loss and even the loss of their soul rather than repent. There are many people who did not prepare for this past storm. People didn't even get up water. People didn't make any plans. The storm coming, they were unprepared. And it's happening that way every day to people. The day's their last day, and God takes their breath, and they go out lost. Unprepared. Unprepared for eternity. That's the tragic. Eternity. Unprepared. What about you? Are you really prepared? Is the old account settled? Have you come to the Lord? If one loses their soul, there's no greater loss. And it pains the heart of God because He loves you so much. It was because of God's love, everyone, everywhere, that God sent His only Son to die for the sins of the world. Let's turn to one last scripture and we'll close to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Over towards the back of your Bibles. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you get eternal life right then. He that hath the Son hath life. See there? And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, underline those two words, may know that ye have eternal life, and you won't lose it, contrary to some of these false teachers. There's never been a person got unborn again. You can't find one in the Bible. When you're saved, you get eternal life. And you're not saved by holding out or holding on. All sin was judged on the cross. You're not going to answer for sin except when you disobey the Lord. He'll chasten you here. But you don't lose your salvation. You may lose rewards, according to the Bible. That you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Praise God for the Word of God. Are you sure you're saved? If not, today's the day to make sure. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And don't keep it to yourself. Help get out the gospel. That's the reason we got a radio ministry. That's the reason we got a television ministry. It's why we got a newsletter. And but that reminds me, we need some more names for people to send a newsletter to. So think about it. You've been saved? Love the Lord. Serve the Lord. Be faithful to the Lord. Share the Lord. You won't ever regret it. You won't ever regret it. Because the greatest thing I believe that can happen to any of us when we're saved and we're received into heaven is to hear the Lord say, "Well done. Well done." I remember working in our fields and see Daddy come in from somewhere and he'd see what we'd be accomplishing. He'd have that great old big smile and chewing tobacco dropping out of his chin, and he was so tickled because we had done so much work while he was gone. God won't have no chewing tobacco, but he's going to have a big smile on his face if we're faithful when we go meet him. Amen. Loving God, speak to hearts, deal with hearts, challenge hearts. Have your way in every heart for the glory of our God. And I pray for everyone that you'd encourage them. In Jesus' precious saving name, amen and amen. The invitation today is, you need Christ, come. Let us talk to you about the Lord. Maybe you need to come to the altar today and call on the Lord to help you through